We've been busy with a couple of sermon series. This is not a series or part of a series as far as I know at this moment, but it's just something, it's almost like an ad break. It's something that I believe is in season, something that God has laid on my heart and that we need to quickly chat about today. And even in our small groups. And the title of today's message is Gasping or Breathing. And you'll see now we've spoken a lot about wind and the Holy Spirit in our ministry time, and obviously it makes sense that God has done that because it's exactly what I wanted to chat to you guys about today. But before we jump into that, let's invite the wind of the Spirit into this place just again. As I said, technically he's here, but let's invite our own hearts to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit for this morning to be refreshed. Lord, thank you, Lord, that as I prayed this morning, may our faith not be based on the words of man, but your Holy Spirit and power. Thank you, Father God, that man cannot change man, but God changes us all. Your word, which is a double-edged sword, Father God, changes our lives, brings truth, brings correction, brings comfort, brings love. We say, Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, speak to us today like never before. Come and change. Come and free us up. Come and fill our lungs like never before. And Lord, I extend a prayer, Lord, to those that cannot be here today. We've got a lot of people in our family, Lord. But this message might be even more for some of them. Lord, we do not come and judge as man judged. That's not the heart. The heart is, Father God, that people will stand in this time. The heart is that people will be filled by the Spirit in this time. The heart is that nobody will fall on the wayside in this time. The prayer is that nobody's heart will be hardened in this time. And that those that you've granted salvation will hold on to that salvation. And that you will grow the process of sanctification in their lives. And that you will keep them upright. And that for all of us, you'll help us to finish our races. So we lift up our family that's not here today. And we ask, Lord, that you will meet them wherever they're at. Meet them wherever they're at, Lord. By your grace, you will give us what we need, even in our sleep. Retief does not have to preach at me. God, you can give it to me in my sleep. So please give it to us in our sleep, because we need you. I believe it's a season in which we, like always, but especially need you. Help us all to answer the phone when you call. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, as I said, you don't need Retief to preach. Definitely not. But we need to come around God's fire in fellowship. I saw it this weekend. This message was not born out of a place where I've got it all sorted out. It was born out of a place of need. Have you ever written a letter to somebody where it's actually a letter to yourself? Have you ever preached a sermon, but it's actually a sermon to yourself? And I believe this is a sermon to me, but you're more than welcome to listen as I preach to myself. The bottom line is, now let's just, as a bunch of kids, who of you guys can hold your breath the longest? Can you? Okay, I thought of having a competition, but then I thought, well, maybe that's not in the spirit of church, really. We don't do competitions. But I'm going to count to three and we're going to hold our breaths. And in the moment you stop holding your breath, it can either be you fall over or we need to phone the police and this whole thing is a bit weird. So don't do it for too long. You don't have to win. But let's say we'll hold our breath for as long as we can. In Jesus' name, nobody's going to get a heart attack and nobody's going to die. But you hold your breath and then once you inhale again, you gasp. You take the biggest breath possible. So I'm going to count to three. Maybe just close your eyes, otherwise you'll let the self buzz. Close your eyes. Start inhaling. Just filling up those lungs. And I'm going to count to three and then you hold it. But don't cheat, eh, guys? This is church. God can see if you cheat. All right. It's not a competition, but still, don't cheat. Okay. One, two, three. Remember, when you inhale, it needs to be a big breath. There's some people coming back to life now. It's a paar eisters wat het. Moet nie lach hier, dit gaan nie help hier. Edna is still going strong. Sy het nogal so lang asem. Who's still busy? Prys die Here. Okay. Well, you can... Okay. Okay, well... Jenny is still going. I'm getting nervous for Jenny's sake. Okay, well, when you get back... Ryan's also still going. Hectic. Okay. When you inhale, enjoy it. Okay, great. How was that feeling? How was that experience? Maybe a bit of a relaxed environment. Hopefully you've worshipped. So it's not a life or death moment. Luckily not. Otherwise I'll be out of my job. But how was that moment when you just inhaled again? It's not lekker. Wonderful. And then after that you just do it a paar keer and it's everything's still working. Great stuff. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Now, that poor guy, I don't know him. He's a photo guy from Google. So thank you, Google, for the photo. That's just the photo cred. But that guy is, as it seems, looking for some air. And as I said, this message was not born out of a place of my fullness, but more of my need. We've had a couple of months that was really busy. Just day-to-day, normal type of stuff, normal pressures of ministry life and church, etc. And then we moved as well. We had a couple of people coming over, family staying over for a week, etc. So we've been very busy, just doing life. Nothing out of the ordinary. No big shocks, no big revelations either, but we've been doing life. And my tank has become more empty and empty and empty. Yes, I've spent time with the Lord and I've kept to my disciplines more often than not. So I've been ticking the boxes, even if you want to put it in a religious sense, but yet I was running out of steam. And this time of year, many a times we find ourselves that people are a bit tired. And that was unfortunately not just my case, but I've been chatting to a bunch of you guys and then other friends of ours, and I've noted that people are running out of steam. And now for the question, is there any of you that have experienced this year or not? Great stuff. So I'm preaching to the right congregation. But sometimes we find ourselves in these situations where we so desperately need to breathe, but we just keep on, and the word is floundering. Spartel is my native for moer. Afrikaans is spartel. It's flounder. It's just, what? Isn't there a better word like spartel in English? Anybody? Better word? You're just struggling to keep up. You're struggling to take or inhale a new breath. And sometimes we need to stop and just realize, hey, I need to breathe, otherwise I'm either going to collapse or this thing ain't happening anymore. Now, don't worry about your pastor. That was not the case whatsoever. It wasn't that far. But yet it was in a place where I realized I need to just reevaluate. I need to stop it because I need to inhale. If you run a race, if you're a surfer, or a couple of you guys are good at cycling or long distance, I know Pietri has been a bit of a driver lately, I don't know, as of late, but he's been on the road now and again, and he's got techies. Bottom line, but he needed to pace himself. Tien's from our garden congregation, and Yaku from Century City, they both do the comrades, and those guys need to pace themselves, and they need to inhale and exhale, they need to take in things and drink enough fluid to finish the race. My heart is very simple today, and it's a very practical message. It's definitely not that technical. It's very practical, but we need to enforce it. We need to take stock and say, this is where I am. Ekspartle biki. But I need to breathe. And we're going to look at what is that breath? What is that thing that when you inhale, like we just did, that will sustain you and bring you back to life and keep you in a place where you can finish the race and finish this year. Now, we jokingly chat about it the other night. There's not really such thing as finishing a year strong, because spiritually, there's not a stop to the war. Sorry, that's bit of a downer. But the moment that you lay down your pen for December, say for instance you're a contractor or a builder, on the 14th of December you can lay down your tools and you go on a month holiday. The devil does not go to sleep on that day. They don't switch off the machines in hell and they just stop the demons from operating. And hey, Retief is a holiday, so no chill. But the moment you get back to work, everything starts again. It's the same with the weekend. Everybody longs for a Friday. We love a Friday. But the devil doesn't stop, chill out and say, well, I'm going to watch the book game. I don't know if he supports. Anyway, let's not go into that. That's maybe a bit ugh. But the thing is, a weekend for the flesh is great, but for the spirit, it's not a true rest time unless you get into the truth, the sabbatical type truth of Jesus Christ and the Word. But that's a sermon for another day. What I want to say is that even if we've got a Western mindset of finishing the year and getting to the end line, let's do it strong and let's do it with our hearts filled. Just quickly want to pray. Father God, we just take authority in the Spirit. And we just say thank you, Lord, that every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, God, we do not speak about or enjoy the things of the enemy. We use it as examples in Jesus' name, but we say that Jesus Christ is Lord in this place. And Jesus Christ, your will be done. Thank you, Father God, that even if we joke about these battles that we do face, it is a matter of life and death. Yes, we portray them in a joking manner so that we can understand and learn from that. But God, we don't want anybody to fall on the wayside and die. So thank you, God, for spiritual life and truth today. And we say the enemy has been defeated, Lord. We can have a holiday right now in the spiritual sense. So thank you, God. I just declare in the heavenlies, we have victory. We have December. We have weekend. But we need to enforce it. In Jesus' name. Give us wisdom. Give us your anointing and your truth. And we just resist the devil. And we say, thank you, Christ, for your truth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Just wanted to settle that in the spirit before we move on. And go to the next slide. Thank you. We need some air and we need to breathe. We saw that by a very simple example just earlier. And this is a time of year that we need to make sure, not only for ourselves, but also for those around us, those in the cell group, those friends we have, the people in our homes, are you breathing? Are you actually inhaling and taking it all in? Because otherwise, we're going to lose each other along the way. Or like Chris said, everything starts off great. You inhale, you exhale, and later on, life happens, and you get drawn in and sucked in by life, and we don't want that. Now, the first thing, we're going to just now and again fall back to that picture of this guy struggling, sparkling there in the water to breathe. I'm going to use this picture, and it's an analogy. It's just a picture. Jesus loved pictures, and it's a way of simplicity in which he explains stuff to me. And that's just, we're using a picture today around air, around breathing, around wind. It's not a new agey type of thing to do, but it's very biblical, and it's for us to understand that we need to breathe to stay alive. And we're going to look at what that is just now. To get back to that picture is that we need to ask one another, what is my position? Where am I at? Might ask, but Retief, that is very, very weird. But in a moment of discomfort, or in a moment of a struggle, or in a moment where you think I might be drowning in the season, it might be going so difficult, you need to an orientation of where am I at. Sometimes, and who's had that? I need to just quickly stop. There's so much stuff happening, so much pressures. I just need to, who am I? I'm like, okay, cool. Go through everything, go through the question, and I realize I'm a son of God. And what does that do? That just lights up faith in my heart again. That brings perspective again. It tells me about something about my position. I need to reorientate myself, because if we do not have an orientation of where we're at, we don't know how to deal with the situation. It's very, very practical. It's very practical in life. If you're out in nature, you get lost. If you're in the seas and you're almost drowning, just firstly stop for a moment. Take a moment of orientation to position yourself. And from that you make a decision. Does that make spiritual sense to you guys? We're going to roll it out now and you'll understand a bit more. We need to know where we are and where we are from. First one is positioning. We are in the world, but not of this world. That's interesting. I was a lawyer practicing law. Very deep statement. And I found myself amongst businessmen, people making money, people losing money, people being hard and harsh. And then now and again, there's Christians that cross your road as well. Some of them real, some of them not that real. Their heart's sincere. So it's a mixed bag of stuff happening. So in that place, I need to realize, firstly, what are my identity? Just quickly, when the pressures are on, I need to perform. I need to make money. I need to move. I need to survive. What about my wife? What about children, etc.? I need to stop. Where am I? I'm practicing law as a lawyer. Okay, cool. Well done. Trying to make money, trying to make a living. Okay, cool. Well, stop there. Who are you really? I'm a son of God. What does that mean? For that, we need to go to Scripture. And I trust we'll be doing this in our hearts as we move along. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Awesome. Who's Jesus again? King. Who's king? Son of God. Yes. Whose king is Jesus? Oh, yes. Okay, so it's my king. Sorry, guys. It may be very, very, very simple, but we don't actually ask these simple questions sometimes, and we lose breath. My kingdom is not of this world. Great, my king is Jesus and his kingdom is not of this world. Now, what am I building at the moment? Let's go on. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants, who's that? That might just be us. My servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world. So my kingdom is not of the world. We're busy orientating ourselves in a season called October. A difficult season maybe spiritually, but we are orientating and finding our positions. And this is what our king is saying. Our king is saying, my kingdom is not in this world. My playing field, my true playing field, or the place in which the foundation in which it's found is not here, it's there. It needs to come here. If you listen to our Father, his kingdom can come here through us, but that's, again, another sermon. And secondly, Philippians 3 verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Say with me, my citizenship is in heaven. If I'm practicing law and I need to make this deal work, and I go, and if I play for the Booker and we score a try and we lose by, or we didn't score a try, we kick a couple of goals, we lose by 2 marks, and I sit down and I think, everything is lost. I need to orientate myself and think, hey, cool, we lost. It sucks. It's really nice winning. But hey, my king is not William Webb Ellis. Oh yeah, my king is not William Webb Ellis. Wow. That round thing, that golden egg, is not a god. Wow, it's a ball. Huh. These great guys are awesome people, but they're not gods. Oh yeah. My king is Jesus, and he says his kingdom is not of here, so it's not on a rugby pitch. Awesome. I'm a citizen of heaven. Poof, 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 poof. Perspective. Amazing perspective. Likewise, if you're in law, likewise in your business, likewise in your family, get quick perspective. So what are we doing? We're quickly saying, hey guys, we need to breathe. But before we do that, as ons besig om te spartel, we take stock. We orientate ourselves. We position ourselves. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. It takes off a lot of pressure. And then secondly, if you can go to the next slide. We are spirit and not flesh. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I'm in a body. I'm not a body. I'm definitely not a body. But some ladies might also think they are, but they're not. Or some men these days think they are a body. And something else about a soul, and who the heck knows anything about a spirit? But I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I'm in a body. When Johan, 3 weeks back, 2 weeks back, said to us, being a Christian and practicing Christianity can only be done out of the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical. Yes, it manifests, but it starts of foundation. It starts of it is a spiritual thing. God is spirit. Now I'm drowning. I can't. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks regtig in hierdie oomblik, but my God is spirit. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I'm in a body. Yet the world would love to tell me I am a body. And bloody, bloody, blah, soul, bloody, bloody, blah, spirit. You're a body. No wonder I struggle. No wonder I feel inferior. No, not me, this is hypothetically. No wonder I feel inferior. No wonder I don't feel cool or in or hot or whatever. Because I've got my identity all mixed up. Lastly, going to say it because I love it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Let's go to scripture. Flesh give birth to flesh. That makes sense. But the spirit, Holy Spirit, spirit with a capital S, gives birth to spirit. Thank you, Lord. You give birth to us. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. In other words, your spirit gets born. It's called reborn, moment of salvation. We can't go into the detail today. You all know it, but let's remind ourselves. The wind blows wherever it pleases. See how they connect the wind and the spirit here? I love this. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everybody born of the Spirit. Very simply, what is ministry time? What is this time we have before we start our service? In the flesh, we can have an agenda. We need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. And then we have to drink coffee before we go home, otherwise it's not church. Yet, some things, hopefully mostly, one day everything, hopefully, will be born out of the Spirit. Now, they can get some flesh involved here, and we'd like to minimize that because it's a holy place. But what is born out of the Spirit is Spirit. And I can't direct it. I can't say, well, this, that, and the other. Phone you up on Wednesday, say, here's these three lines. Come and please regurgitate this poem for us and think it's going to bring forth life. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. Why am I saying this? We are orientating ourselves, checking our lives, and we're saying, this time of the year, people are tired. We believe there's a difficult spiritual season at the moment, and some people are taking shots. So that's why we just quickly need to see, are we breathing? Are we alive? Are we checking our pulse? Are we breathing spiritually? And for that, we're just checking, where am I from? I've got a king. His kingdom is in heaven. I'm a citizen of that kingdom. I do a lot of stuff in the flesh, but yet my focus needs to be where? The things of the Spirit. And lastly, I'm a spirit that has a soul within a body. So great. Going back to the picture, in other words, this guy's, he needs to breathe. He's been twirling around this water. He's fighting for his life. Now he just needs to calm down. Because I just love the word spartel. Hoe meer jy spartel, hoe minder is jou kans tot oorlewing. As soon as he... Especially I've tried surfing a couple of times. If you're in that whitewash, you've been whacked so hard. And it's not even very deep. And you can get to a place, it's actually, praise God for the example, but you can get to a place where you're upside down, you don't know where your board is, you have no idea where you are within this wave. You just, by the luck and by the grace of God, you just pop up now and again. But you need to, not that there's time to calculate it. Now you know what a great surfer I am. Sermon 101, test of humility. But you need to quickly say, well, I'm in the sea, my lungs needs air, there's no air around, there's just water, it's not going to work. I need to get where the air is. And that's what we're doing this morning. I say, hey guys, we need to get where the air is. Before we're going to go until 3 o'clock, let's move on. Flesh births flesh, spirit produces spirit. So I think we fairly covered that basis, that foundational truth of where we are and what we need. We need to breathe the word and breath. Now, as I said, it's a picture, but let's go back to the beginning where God spoke all of this that we see. He spoke it into being. He spoke it by way of this breath, ruach. Ruach is the word for spirit or wind. Kadesh, that means holy. So it's by the way of his ruach, by his breath, that he spoke this into being. I don't know if it's up there, but ruach is wind, by resemblance also breath. That is, and then they go on. I'm not going to read the whole definition out of the concordance for you, but let's go to Scripture. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, He spoke by the ways of His breath, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke all of this into being. That's the God we serve. I know we've all heard this so many times, but if you really stop and just realize God has spoken this all into being. And then if you see this mountainous problems in your life, yet God has spoken the world into being, it just brings again a bit of perspective. Let's move on. Genesis 2 verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils. So God formed us, and then he had to breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Where did we get the breath of life? From God. The breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Say, living creature. Awesome. So God created us. He created Adam, from which we stem, obviously. And within God, and from within God, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. Now there's two things, obviously, physical breath that we all have, and then there's a spiritual breath. So God gave us the breath of life to live, to have this flesh and to operate here, but then you get born again and he gives you what? His spirit. The breath of his spirit, which makes you a new man. And that needs to be filled and replenished on days like today. I love Job 33 verse 4. We're jumping around a bit, but we're just catching a heart. We're just catching the wind of the Lord to be refreshed. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Who believes that the breath of the Almighty gives him or her life today? Who believes that the breath of the Almighty, the one that spoke this all into being, can refresh you out of any season of any year? Who believes that you can go through hardship and trouble and face adversity? You can struggle and spartle, but that the one that gave you breath of life in the first place, the one that gave you the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the first place, can just bring you back to life. Here is not Pilatus, it is kerk, but it feels good. Let's go on. Now what to do? I said it's going to be practical. I'm just going to give a couple of action points that we can work through and that we can just mull through. And then at the end of the day, we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit to come and touch our lives. What do you have to do when you find yourself in this situation? Yes, you take position. You remind yourself of who you are and where you're from, who your God is. And then there's a couple of things that we could just do in our life. Now, as I said, I went through a couple of months that was really hard. And I got tired. And then constantly you're just pushing it into the red. You're just pushing it into the red. You're just taking these little small breaths and you're pushing it into the red the whole time. Now, this is not a sermon about spiritual disciplines, but I do believe there's a very good place that we can chat about spiritual disciplines for a change. Not religious to-do lists. That's not the heart. But it's life-giving disciplines of disciples of Jesus that leads to life that we can chat through. But I thought today might be a bit hard if we're all going through a struggle, so we try to keep it light. But we will be speaking about spiritual disciplines. In my life, I needed to get back to the basics. Am I getting into the Word? Am I getting into the Word? God has laid it in my heart to pray in tongues daily. And am I doing that? Fellowship. Am I getting to chill out with you guys? Not just coming to church, having to preach and do my job, but am I constantly pursuing fellowship of the brethren? Because the moment we get together, God lights a fire. Ons gaan nou braai. He lights a fire, His Spirit fire, that just quenches our hearts again. Sometimes we might, Narina kan groente aflever, but if we start fellowshipping around a cup of tea, God might just prophetically start to speak. God might just come and love on you by a simple thing that somebody shares. But there is so much value. And I found it this weekend. Look, let's be honest. I had to be there. I didn't have much of a choice. So I was fairly amped to go, but I knew I had certain things to do there. I had a task list of stuff that I needed to do at this leadership training this weekend. But I was totally bowled by God's presence. Yes, the guys were amazing, and they've done many things, but what stood out was Jesus that they shared with me. There was fresh manna that they shared through worship and through the stuff that they just brought to the table. It was Christ that they shared with me. And that happens in fellowship. I breathed again. So I got back to the Word in this last couple of days, got back to fellowship and praying. And you know what? I'm still eager to have more. So what do we need to do? We need to get back to the source. Some of us, you're really excellent at what you do. You excel at what you do, and you're amazing at your jobs. Some of us might not feel that way. But it can so easily become an identity thing. And then we stop and say, no, let me get back to the source. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. What does that mean? What does that mean? It merely means that as jy besig is om te versuip, kom waar die lig is. Kom waar die suurstof is. If you're busy drowning, get to where the oxygen is. It's bottom line. Now, Ritifa, that's feeble. That might sound feeble, but it might be life-saving. And sometimes we push it. We're a Martha Christian culture where we push it and push it and push it and push it. And we just lose out on that Mary moment. We just sit at His feet. I said many times get into quiet time and I have to pray for myself. I have to pray for my family. I have to pray for you guys. I have to keep things together. I have to. And I realize I don't actually have to. Because if I do it or not, chances are pretty good God will keep it together. Striving has never kept much together. It can for a season, but it's not going to lead to life. It will lead eventually to death. Because if you strive, you're not operating in faith. You're operating in unbelief. And what is unbelief? Unbelief is missing the mark. In other words, it's sin. Sin leads to death. Sorry, there was an opsomming. Verlichtige opsomming. But the thing is, it leads to death. But what is born out of the Spirit is Spirit. So I needed to get to where the Spirit is. Where is the Spirit hovering? This weekend, even though I had to be there, the Spirit was hovering there. Hopefully this morning, I know it is, but hopefully for you as well, the Spirit is hovering here. Not Retief is dancing for and vat a slukkie and mengs hy taal. No. The Spirit needs to be here. Because what is born out of flesh is flesh. But what was born out of the Spirit is Spirit. And we need to get back to the source. Our Western culture, even our Christian culture, can be so full of Christianese, so full of to-dos and to-don'ts, that we just miss the basics. We don't want to miss the basics. So get back to the air. As jy besig is om te versuip, kom by waar die lig is. Get to where the fresh oxygen is. And what links with that is the next one. It's very similar. But that was also the heart in ministry time, is waiting on the Lord. I love this scripture. It just so spoke to me this weekend because it was exactly what I needed. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Guys, we trust in a lot of things. Let's be honest. Our trust is many times split into a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that we can trust. And this is not condemnation talk. This is just conviction talk. Remember, this is a sermon to myself. Yes, we don't think so, but when you get down to it all, sometimes we trust in a lot of stuff. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I didn't think I was going to tell this, but I do believe the Lord said I'm going to share this. Maybe a bit of a corny testimony, but I like testimonies. Who's prayed for my knee recently? Chris, you've prayed for my knee. My knee. Who else have prayed for my knee this last... you've prayed a couple of times. From Johan. A couple of people. I fell off my bike a couple of months back just before we went on the mission. And when I was on the mission, I actually went for a jog just before that. And during that, I got this excruciating pain in my knee that I couldn't move. I couldn't sleep on my side either. It was just so sore. And I went to God with this and say, well, Lord, what's going on? And God said to me, you healed. I'm like, cool, I'm healed. And I asked the Lord, and he just put it on my heart. Let me be more diplomatic. He just laid it on my heart that I should keep on practicing and doing my exercises like I usually do, either go to gym or jog or cycle. Obviously not that much, but now and again. And I shouldn't stop. Thanks, Jenny. And I shouldn't stop. Yet, nothing happened to this pain. So, in Cape Town one day at my parents-in-law, I just tried to run it off, and it was just even more sore. So, now I was confused. It's like, Lord, you're saying that my knee is healed. I go do what you say, but yet it's so sore. Who's ever had something like that in their life? Cool. We might be onto something godly here. Can it be that God is a liar? No, not whatsoever. Can what he said be contrary to his word? No, not whatsoever. So I had to keep on asking. So every time there's a chance for prayer, either intercession or my wife, or my mood is just so down because I really need to get out. It's not about being on a cover of a magazine or about the body thing. It's just about my head. I need to get out and get some exercise now and again. You can ask Edna. There's good reasons. But I just need to get out and blast some storm off. Anyway, so this thing was just so sore the whole time, and it didn't go away. And I just kept on praying. God just said, well, trust me. It is healed. It is healed. It is healed. Now, it's been 4 months that I haven't jogged again, and I wasn't a massive jogger either, so please just get perspective on this whole thing. But this weekend, I just had in my heart that it's still sore, so it's much less, but it's not that rough. And on Friday, I said to Edna, just before we had to go to leadership, what do you think about me going for a jog? And she said, well, she's not 100% sure, but it's not her battle, it's mine. I was just trying to make my battle hers. And God just kept saying the same thing. Even if it's hurting or not hurting, he's just saying the same thing. So I just put my tackies on and I went for a jog. And the pain was much less at first. And so what I just did is, the Holy Spirit in that moment started to remind me of the scripture. And I was just consciously saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. So luckily there around the reservoir there in Cape Town, my parents-in-law stayed close to that, just above Gardens Church. There around the reservoir, I was starting to jog and was still slightly sore, but then I just started to quote the scripture. I just said first, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And then I started to quote this. They will soar on wings like eagles, but the following, they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. And as I said, it might be a feeble thing to you, but it's a massive thing to me. And as I just started to quote that scripture, as I went around, not around and around and around, but around, as I went around, I was just aloud quoting that scripture. And as I did that, there was just no pain. God's truth will override anything in the physical. Now, am I going to do the comrades tomorrow? Probably not. Do I know exactly what's going on inside of my knee? I have no idea. But do I know this? I know God knows. He knows exactly what is going on. And I know his word to be true. Even if I take it like a child. I came back, I was stiff as... I was very stiff the next day. But I felt like $1 million. If you may say that in church. I just felt so good. And God truly carried me. And I just want to encourage you, whatever that promise is, whatever that affliction is, whatever that thing is that is trying to take the breath out of your life, where's the Spirit? Where's the Spirit? Where's the Spirit? Where's the Spirit? So I'm just going to, whatever, however long it takes, and I haven't felt it in 2 days. I'm still cautious. I haven't felt it. But where the Spirit is, Spirit is blessed, or Spirit is produced. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is not the way in which we know. It's not running to the flesh. It's not always making your own plans. I love doctors, by the way. Bless doctors. Not against doctors. But this was the Lord in my heart. God said to me, no doctors. I'm not going to see an knee specialist. And obviously after this test in me, I'm not going to see him in the future either. Because it's about the glory of God's name. So I've just ruined that idea in any event. But it's the law in my heart, so I'm not against doctors whatsoever. It's just, what is the Spirit breathing in your life? Because that will lead to life. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Guys, there's many a times in the day where we need to make conscious decisions. Where am I going to put my mind? Even such a little thing as going for a jog, where am I going to put my mind? There's a constant battle. I jokingly referred to it earlier, but there's a war. And it's not a joke. There's a war going on around for our souls. There's a war going on for His kingdom to come down on earth in our lives. There's a war for us in this church, for God's kingdom to come against the kingdom of darkness. Where's our minds? What are we going to decide? And it gets easier. The more you decide, make the right decision, the more you put your mind to Him, the easier it becomes. So please, I don't want anybody to go out here with a burden. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. A mind that is steadfast in you. What is the key here? What is the key upon waiting on the Lord? What is the key? It's God's empowerment, and it's what? Surrender. What is this? What is the world out there all about? It's about me, myself, and I. It's about my kingdom. And it's about my control. Being sorted. Being secure. Yet, the kingdom invites you into a place where He says, come. Come and surrender. Come and trust. Come and believe. Come and see what the Spirit does. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going to blow, but come. Come. Come and trust. Come and breathe in His freedom. Third action point. We've got two to go. We're almost there. It's very simply as a child. Ask, ask, and ask for the helper. How often a day do you ask the Holy Spirit for help? Please, answer me. It's not a test. But we're Christians, and I think it's maybe a good thing. How often do you ask the Holy Spirit for help during the day? A lot? A lot. Awesome. Not a lot. Okay. Any other answers? Sometimes. Not enough. Again, please, guys, this is not a right and wrong, but hey, what are we doing here? Some days more than the others. Yeah, some seasons also more than the others. How often do you ask the helper for help? Oh, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. And he's standing right there. Hey, guess what? My job is to help you. I'm drowning, help me. Hey, I'm just standing here minding my own business. Funny, I let it cool goed to get me to red. No. We laugh. But that's exactly what we do. Oh, here, Christenskap is moeilik. Hey, I'm here to do it through you. I'm actually here to anoint you. Hey, guess what? You've not even been called to breathe. You've been called to walk on this stuff. Guess what? And I can help you to not only breathe, not only not forsake, but I'm actually here to help you to walk on this thing called water. Help, help. You get the picture. I think it's quite cool. So I might be going on for another 10 minutes, but I guess we can't. But it is exactly what we do. God has called us and He sent us a helper. Jesus said, it is good that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send you the help. In other words, Jesus said, hey guys, this is a good thing. And as Jesus said, if Jesus said this is a good thing, it's probably a very good thing. And if He left for the God to send the Spirit, then why do we not ask for His help? Why do we forget just to stretch out a hand and say, empower me, teach me, show me how not only to breathe, not only to swim, but to walk on water? Who wants to walk on water? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He'll teach you how to breathe, because He will be breath in your lungs. And bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Thank you, Jesus. Ask for empowerment. Is it time for a BEE joke? Probably not. Let's just say, ask for empowerment. No, say, ask for empowerment. What are we doing? We're just renewing our minds, guys. And it's not a BEE joke either. But we need to ask for empowerment. Jesus died, amongst other, so that we can have the Helper. Let's not be caught drowning. Fourth thing, number D, action point D, know where you are from. We've done this, I've just thrown it in here, I think you've got it. It's a foundational thing, it's where we start. We're orientating, we're positioning ourselves. I'm not even going to re-quote that scripture now. But make sure, guys, we need to operate spiritually, not in the flesh. We need to remember who we are. I'm a son of the Most High God. I've said it to you before and I'll keep on saying it again because I need to remind myself. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not white. I'm not Afrikaans. I'm not even a Springbok supporter. Yet I'm all of those things. But that's not my identity. That is my dream. If Edna should ever wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me, who are you? I don't know what I'm going to answer, but I need to answer the following. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a son of God. If you wake me up in the middle of the night, the first thing that should come from my heart is I'm a son of God. If situation and affliction and the waters of life comes downpouring on you, what are you going to say to it? If the enemy attacks on weekends and in holidays, what are you going to say? Who are you? I'm a son of God. And then where are you? I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm merely traveling through. What is that word I'm looking for? Yeah. You're not a resident, you're a pilgrim. Yes, thank you guys. I'm merely a pilgrim in this world. I come and I stop. I come in, I stop, but I'm moving on to a heavenly home. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You can forget everything. All the lame jokes, all the running around, all the this. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is operating within a church, within a relationship, within soul, within life, within business, within your disciplines, but where the Spirit of the... Now, let's not get all technical. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. So what are we talking about here? It's where He is for me. What did Jesus say? Where I am, my servant shall also be. Mixed up the words there, but you get the heart. In other words, where is Christ for me? If Christ is not anointed, if He's not here for me, if the Spirit is not here for me to be the pastor of the church, you will know it. You will know it. If you're not meant to be in that relationship or that friendship, you will know it. You might not want to know it, but you will know it by the Spirit. Not by fear, by the Spirit. likewise, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Does that mean fleshly freedom? No. Life-giving liberty. Because that is where God is. Will the place where the Spirit is for me, for my life personally, be the same as for Lindy? Always? No, not. Because what? We are in a new covenant, and this Spirit's law of life is written on the tablets of our hearts. No longer is it, yes, there's certain ones that's certainly applicable to all of us, but God comes through His Spirit and He writes His law on our hearts. I use the stupid example always. We don't have DSTV because that's the law on my heart. Does that mean you don't have to have DSTV? Yes, definitely not. No, it's a joke. What is God saying to you? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fresh oxygen for you. If you had to be here this morning to meet with the Lord, but you stayed in bed, you would have been this guy. Help, help! God is like, I've been phoning, but you choose not to answer. Mike, forsake! Pick up the phone. I'm here to help you. You get the picture. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where is that in your life? And are you making sure you're there? Life happens on a Monday morning. We're up before 6. Children are awake. Things happen. Edna needs to go here. I need to go there. We need to plan. And before you blink, it's Monday night. Before you blink, it's Thursday evening. Before you blink, it's Sunday. God, where have I stopped? Lord, I missed my quiet time here. I missed my quiet time there. Like they said this morning, it's not about what you do. It's about why did you or why should you do it? In other words, it was not a case of, oh, I should have. More a case of, because I didn't, I missed out. Because I didn't get to God, because I didn't sit down, because I didn't stop at least to seek, Lord, where is your Spirit this morning for me? I missed out on that life breath of God for us. And I'm going to end off with the following, and it's very easy, it's just obeying. Another action point for us in this season, to make sure that we breathe in spiritually so that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, is just to obey. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. In other words, God will lead you and you will give your life pockets of enough oxygen, but you need to obey. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. The Lord's Spirit is a fire. It's a fire that we need to flame, a flame that we need to fan in our hearts. But you can quench it by just saying no. God said to you, hey, come and fellowship with the guys here this morning at church. It's not about coming to church. Guess what? Joke, nee, dit gebeur die regte. It's just a joke in putting this away, but let's be honest. He doesn't seek sacrifice, he seeks obedience. But the flip side is very true as well. There's a demonic force called the spirit of duvet, and it operates in the winter, so be careful, it's a deceiving spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 4 verse 50, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. My wife is a person. Yes, she is. I am a person. A person can be grieved and can be hurt. Likewise, the Holy Spirit that stays in you is a person. And that person can be grieved. But he's that gentleman saying, I've been put in your life as a savior, as a helper, as one that can save you out of these situations. You grieve me if you choose to flounder there and not to look up and not to take help. But it's not going to be pushy and jump in if not invited. You need to let the Holy Spirit do its work in your life. Otherwise, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And we need not do that. Lastly, and it's not on there, I just want to say that An action point or a to-do for breathing, for living in this time, is to be selfish. Lerina, you really tried not to give it away. But it's selfish in inverted commas. I was totally appalled when I heard this for the first time. But have you ever heard the, what is it, the thing they play in the aeroplane, the briefing they give you, that safety briefing where the things flip down and then the lady show you the oxygen mask. And when there's kids, what do they say? What do you have to do? You first help yourself and then your kid. And I'm just, everything in me, just that grieves me. I was almost offended. I want to get out of this mango plane. Who is this people? You attend to your children and then to yourself. But yet in preparing, I just realized there's something very true to that. I can't say it's a godly principle, and I, for the heck of me, I cannot think that I will be doing that in the airplane. And praise God, I won't be in that situation either. But if you don't choose to put that oxygen mask on for yourself, you might not be able to, in time, do it for somebody next to you. So guys, even if you've got a massive, awesome pastoral heart, you really have a heart for mercy ministries, you're a Martha in Murgenbeen, and you love to do stuff for people, and you love people, you need to get to a place where you get your own oxygen first. Because if I don't get my own oxygen first, I might just not be in the place to either give it to them or give the right thing to them. If I, as a pastor of this church, by the grace of God, not get my own oxygen from the Lord, make sure I connect with God, I won't be able to do it. Obviously, this is not a law, it's just a picture. And obviously, the life of you guys are not dependent on me. You're dependent on Christ. You don't look to me. But in doing my job, there is a part of my life in which I help and I feed as God leads. Ultimately, He's the Father sitting there putting the oxygen marks first. But if you're in a relationship, especially marriage relationship, I can't give much to Edna if I've not been breathing myself. If I've not been filling my cup, filling my tank, there's not much going to Frida and Sophia either. So please, be selfish. Don't be selfish because Jesus came to lay down His life. Please take this word in context. But be selfish. Make sure that you breathe yourself. Petri, would you mind just coming playing a couple of snore? And you guys can go to the last slide. There's some good gasping going on there. And as we end off, guys, it's not about that picture, it's a bit tongue in cheek, but it's not, that guy can't keep on living like that and then go underwater for a kilometer again and do it again. No, we've called to breathe like it's naturally. We've not been called as Christians to gasp out every now and then. 3 months later, you go to this amazing conference and then you just. And then you just go on your own thing again. And then you go to a new conference. Or a new CD comes out 6 months later. And you're just like, that's not. I need to go to church once a month. No, that's not the idea. God has created things so that we can daily breathe and it can be normal. But you don't get into a situation where you're in dire straits and thinking, how am I going to make it? But if you're on the season in a place that is difficult, you need some extra oxygen, and then I would suggest gasp and gasp quickly. But trust God, the helper, to install disciplines and ways in your life that we can breathe naturally, the Spirit's will in our life. Maybe just again the bottom line, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is oxygen for you. That's always in the Word of God. It's always in fellowship, worship, prayer. Not staunch religiously, but as God leads. Let's close our eyes and quickly go into prayer. As we close our eyes, if you've been floundering, in other words, as jy besig was om te spartel, and you really, if this word is in season for you, that you need to gasp, you need that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, will you just raise your hands? Can I ask that you stand up and maybe come forward, and then can I ask that we pray for you? That's all right. Holy Spirit, thank you. We don't want to preempt what you want to do. I don't want to preach, ask, and then we just do our own little thing. So Holy Spirit, I come now and I ask. Here we are, brothers and sisters, needy of fresh air, needy of the almighty breath of God, afresh in this season. Lord, how do you want to touch your people? God says, tell them I love them. Tell them I love them. Holy Spirit, thank you that you can come and love on these hearts now. I'm just quickly going to lay hands on you each and pray for you. Lord, we thank you that you you lead us by your Holy Spirit. We all come and say, Helper, we need help. Not to survive. God, I just declare over us as a church, every person in our congregation, no single one of us have ever been called to survive. We've been called to live. Might not know exactly what it means or how it's defined in a godly manner, but I just declare in Jesus' name, we've not been called to survive, we've been called to live. Called to live. Called to live. I speak it into being. Called to live. Called to live. Called to live in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for that. And Lord, we just thank you that we will be led by your Holy Spirit. Because for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I pray that the fullness of that scripture, the fullness of that truth, will find fruit in all of our lives. In this lifetime, that the fullness of that scripture will become true, the fullness of that promise will become true in all of our lives, all of our families. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lead us, Father God, lead us. We love you. You sustain us. You are life unto us in all possible manners. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm blessed, and my lungs are full. You guys should have an awesome week, and go share some oxygen masks to the people out there. As God fills you, fills your cup, go and bless them as well. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week.